Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where it's that time again, TurboTax and NBA trade deadline season, or as the Lakers like to call it, no repeater taxation without clutch representation season, whatever that means. Anyways, I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and today I am joined by popular friend of the podcast. He joins us just about every time around this time of the year, the trade deadline, and right before free agency, Mr. Yazzie Goslin of Hoops Hype. Yazzie, happy new year, and how are you doing, man?
I'm good. I've got a lot of work done recently, so now I could be a little more focused on this trade deadline. I'm sure it's going to be a last-minute type of deadline again. Yeah, other than that, I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on. It's crazy. It's already February, and we're about a week away from the trade deadline at this point, February 9th. As you said, a lot of the action is bound to pick up next week. But with the Lakers having kicked off the trade deadline season with the acquisition of Rui Hachimura last week, we thought it would be the perfect time to have you on and preview what the tail end of this trade deadline might look like. So before we get started, so the layout of this show, we'll do some Rui Hachimura questions and then some general NBA trade deadline talk, and then we'll reserve the second half of this show for the more Lakers-centric trade talk. But with regards to the Rui trade, yeah, what was your initial impression of the Lakers-Rui Hachimura deal? Was Rui on your radar of players who could potentially be moved, and were you surprised by the return the Wizards got, or not really?
Yeah, I was definitely expecting Rui to get traded. Wrote about it a bunch right before he got traded, how the Wizards, they're trying to keep Kuzma and Porzingis, both players will probably opt out, and re-signing both of them will probably put them right at the tax, and that's before factoring in a new deal for Rui. So it just made sense that they were going to trade him. I think they also, you know, they have Denny, they have probably another forward, I'm not, Corey Kispert, that, and then Kuzma, like, you know, hard to give all those guys minutes, assuming these guys, you know, start to be pretty good. So I was expecting them to trade him. Kind of reminded me of the Kelly Oubre trade from 3 or 4 years ago when they sent him to Phoenix for Ariza. Just they had a tax crunch coming up, so they got something for him. They didn't bring back Ariza the next year, but just to keep them in the game that season. So as for the Lakers, I just think it's whatever. I'm not a big fan of Rui. I don't think he's really shown anything in Washington to like suggest to me that he's gonna be like a real contributor, a real impact player. Just seems to be focused on like scoring, but not really particularly good at anything else. So for the Lakers, I was a little, it's fine that they got him, just to try him out and see what he can, maybe a change of scenery can help him, playing next to LeBron and AD can help him. A little surprised that they project him to be the starter. So let's see, maybe he's got a little more untapped potential than I've believed, but time will tell. And that's as far as a return for the Wizards, that's pretty much what I expect to them to get, like a bunch of seconds, you know, and some role player to replace them, like Nunn.
Yeah, and Nunn's actually doing pretty well for them. I think he's like averaging like 12 points off the bench in like 20 minutes or whatever. And I don't know if you've seen the Lakers team this year, Yazi. I know you're not too hyped on the Rui deal, but given the context of where the Lakers stood employing about 7 to 8 6'5" guards and under, just having a 6'8" guy makes a huge difference on this team, as he showed against the New York Knicks last night when he went up for 19-9, went up for that clutch block against, I believe, Jalen Brunson. Was a pretty pivotal defensive move during the end of that game. We'll see whether he pans out as a long-term prospect for the Lakers. Right now, they're saying all the right things, as you should when you make a deal like this, because they traded 3 seconds. 2 of those seconds were from the Washington Wizards, or could potentially be from the Washington Wizards trade that they had with for Russ last season. But yeah, I think I was just surprised, knowing this front office, usually they're not that aggressive making moves around the trade deadline. So for them to actually be the ones who tipped off the NBA trade deadline season, and for a younger Flyer who's not a clutch client, in that respect, I was surprised. I was like, okay, they probably could have gone the Cam Reddish route, the more publicized route and the more clutch-friendly route. But the fact that they went Rui Hachimura, I think, was at least intriguing to me. And I think he is... Again, I'm not sure if he is inevitably a championship-level starter, but on a team that, again, had a 7-8, 6-5 and under guard glut, right now, just having 1-6-8 body who can hit mid-range jump shots, and last night he did a pretty good job against Julius Randle. We'll see how much that'll hold up, but just having that sort of clay to work with right now to stem the tide for the rest of this season, I think, helps. And then I'm sure they'll assess what he looks like this offseason. Now, were you surprised at the fact that this move could potentially signal that the Lakers are ready to preemptively tie up their cap space with Rui's restricted free agency rights? Because I believe his restricted free agency cap holds like in the $15 million range. And I think they're obviously hoping to sign him to like $10 to $12 million, I'm assuming. And by next year, I believe the mid-level is going to be at around $11 million, right? So were you surprised by at least the fact that, hey, actually, maybe the Lakers are eschewing having cap space this summer?
Well, so to the last thing we were saying, and then I'll answer that. It's like talking to you about this Rui trade, I think we both have pretty reasonable expectations for him. Like for me, it's just, okay, you're taking a flyer on a young guy. For you, it's like, okay, they need this type of mold. They need this player type with this length and versatility. And it seems like the Lakers are view Rui as something like way higher than that.
Lakers, they have to say that.
But for them to make this trade, like, you know, usually when you're buying low on some role player, it's like a second or 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Once you get to more than that, it's okay, maybe you really believe in this guy. And yeah, to do it this early on, to me, and to the other point I made earlier, that they're projecting him to start, they already are envisioning him as a future. It seems to me like they view him very highly. Like, I don't know what exactly they project him out to be, but like, it definitely feels like a starter level player. And yeah, I think we could both agree that's still to be seen. He could definitely be much better than he was in Washington as a productive role player, but to be that level of starter, yeah, time will tell.
I think right now they're just saying the starter thing because, like, who else do they have? You know what I mean? But I think once the offseason comes around,
he should project to be a starter if you look at this team. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as we go on with this episode, like, let's say they trade for Bojan Bogdanovic. Is that going to stick all of a sudden? I don't think so. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So that would, a move like that would change that as well. Now, as far as their future, no, I'm not totally surprised. And it's interesting. I was actually just wrote, like, couple days before the Rui trade happened, I think the Lakers should, a whole argument how they should skip cap space entirely and just trade for existing contracts now, or players like Rui who they can re-sign with bird rights over the offseason. Gives them more spending power that way. If they have cap space, they'll have $30 million to spend, and knowing the Lakers will probably go after one guy, use it all on one guy, whether that's Kyrie or Draymond. And even that seems like an unlikely scenario. And then even if they get someone even that's not as going to be as pricey, like Gary Trent, for example, well, that's still most of your cap space. And then all you have is whatever's left and then the room at level. So you're adding maybe like one, you're adding like one really good player. And then who knows what the other two might be. But here, let's say they finally do a Russ trade. And I'm not even talking about trading any picks at all. I'm just, in my, what I'm arguing is just get those players that you can re-sign. They don't necessarily have to be like huge contributors. And the examples I put are like they're taking on some bad money and trying to get some assets attached. What if you can get some good players or picks from Charlotte if you're going to take on Hayward, something like that? Or if you're going to take Bertans or Hardaway, maybe they give you some assets. And then later on you have, yeah, these players might not help you, you know, get you to whatever you want to be as a competitive team. But you have these salaries going into next year. Mm-hmm. If you want to, if a Beal or Levine becomes available, now you've got extra salaries to trade. The biggest downside to all this is that it's going to put the Lakers pretty deep into the repeater tax. Like if they're going to convert Westbrook's 47 mil into that much next year, then yeah, they'll probably be in the tax to have like, you know, LeBron, AD, an additional 50 million in payroll, plus the mid-level, and then you could still re-sign. And now since you're over the cap, you can re-sign Rui, you could re-sign Lonnie Walker. Reeves is always, that's a pretty simple re-signing, whether they're over the cap or under the cap. But you have way more players. The cap space, you most likely can't bring back most of these free agents other than Reeves. So that's the thing. Like the Lakers need to spend hard. Because LeBron and AD, LeBron's going to make 47 mil next year. AD is going to make 41 mil next year. And you want to potentially get another star. Well, I don't care if you get a third star. If you're not having a deep roster that's probably deep in the tax, I don't think that team's really going to go anywhere. If anything, you're closer to where you are these past 2 years if most of the roster is minimum players.
Yeah.
So when they did the Rui trade, I was not necessarily surprised. I was just, I think it's more like of a hedge. Because if Rui's not good, then they'll just let him go. And if they don't do any other deal, okay, then they'll probably use their cap space to improve the team. But you know, the optimist in me is hoping that they do end up trading Russ. Just get a little deeper. Sure, they're getting a lot out of some of their minimum guys right now, like Thomas Bryant, Dennis Schroeder, obviously Austin Reeves when he comes back. But they need – it's the rest of – there's still like five or six guys that are just not at all helping. Yeah. And they just – they really need to turn Westbrook into like either two or three guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I 1,000% agree with you, not to mention the fact that, like you said, they just need the salary ballast. So when they go into the draft night, they actually have that ballast to trade if they want to trade their pick on that night. And then on top of it, if they are a cap space team, that means they're also, you know, availing of the lesser mid-level, the room exception, right? Mm-hmm. If they are over the cap team, they're probably not going to try and hard cap themselves because they'll probably be above that at that point if they're taking on guys like Bertans or higher level guys like even a Bojan Bogdanovic, but they'll at least be able to avail of the taxpayer mid-level exception, right? And that's it's a higher thing that you can split up amongst two other people, you know what I mean? So it just opens up the options for the Lakers if they trade Russ for more longer-term salary. And now that they've got the ball rolling with Rui, who, you know, if they did spend 3 seconds, and one of which was a high second this year from Chicago, or what projects out to be a high second, then, yeah, it makes sense to at least keep him for $10 to $12 million. And then if you've already done that and eaten $12 million of your $30 million cap space, you may as well fill out the rest of your roster right now.
Yeah.
Although, like you mentioned, they do have an out here, a loophole out, because, yeah, they can just renounce Rui and let him go. Like, let's say Kyrie Irving says, I'm ready to become a Laker. Then they're like, all right, Rui, it was a nice flyer, but see you later. So,
and I know we'll get into specific like scenarios, hypotheticals in a bit, but just in my opinion, like, let's say I know like one very common thing, hypothetical people have put out there is, what if they can turn Westbrook and a pick or two into Van Vliet and Trent? Yeah, that would be like the high end of outcomes of what you can do with Russ. But let's say you're not going to get a player even as impactful as Trent. I still think they should do that type of trade where they just take on those salaries, multiple players, over entering the season with cap space. And
agreed.
I might, you know, the like Kyrie, the Lakers will have, you know, 30 something mil. They can offer that to him, and the Nets will probably just slightly outbid that, most likely, or
yeah,
just, you know, put in whatever it takes to just beat it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think would probably happen.
For sure. So we'll get into specifics of additional hypothetical scenarios, but yeah, I agree with you. It remains to be seen whether the front office agrees with us. Let's get into some general NBA questions. As of this past weekend into this week, Miles Turner signed an extension and is out of the trade picture, presumably. The OG Anunoby race is underway, apparently. Detroit wants an unprotected first for Bojan. Apparently, the Lakers are still in on him. And actually, the whole half of the league is in on Bojan, apparently. And then Gary Trent supposedly could be had for a protected first or high seconds. We'll see. I mean, I guess it makes sense because he's about to be an unrestricted free agent. It very much seems like he's not down to re-sign with the Toronto Raptors because they also have to deal with Van Vliet's future. But regardless, with all that happening, Yazi, about a week out from the trade deadline, what's the vibe looking like for you right now? And, you know, we've heard that notion that there are more buyers than sellers, but as we inch closer and closer to All-Star break, do you think that'll change next week?
Probably not. I think it just seems like teams are pretty, you know, they've gone way more optimistic since the play-in and the evening of the lottery odds. And like last trade deadline, yeah, there was the James Harden trade, but that was just because he wanted out. And, you know, like it took a star player pushing his way out to really shake up the trade market. So, yeah, it just feels like last offseason, I mean, last trade deadline, I guess the seller was Indiana in a way. And they didn't even like sell that much. In my eyes, they got a huge upgrade going from Sabonis to Halliburton. And but yeah, obviously, like doing that trade did like help them bottom out a little more. And the Raptors seem to be that team this year. It's like, will they not? I think they will probably be sellers to some degree, maybe not blow the whole thing up. Like, they don't even need to sell at all right now. They could still re-sign Trent and Van Vliet and deal with it next year. But if not this year, definitely next year. So it's like, why not now? Especially if you can get a really good package for some of the guys that are probably that are in trade rumors. So it just seems like Toronto, just a matter of time for them doing something. I don't see anyone else becoming a last-minute seller right now.
What about, so Toronto is on the higher end of the spectrum because they are literally a team that can go either way, you know, make a play-in run or bottom out. What about the teams that are literally intent to bottom out? And I'm talking about the Charlotte Hornets and the San Antonio Spurs, maybe the Detroit Pistons on the fringe of this, because they're a little bit different just because I do kind of believe them that they may have long-term plans for Bojan, but more of the Spurs and Charlotte, could they also potentially be somewhat trade tipping point teams if they decide to offload guys that they should offload in like their expiring contracts, like Oubre, Plumlee, et cetera, and then for the Spurs, Josh Richardson. Could those two, Charlotte and Spurs, also be sort of noisier teams this trade deadline?
I would think Charlotte will probably be active, the most active out of that group. Detroit, they're just weird. I just don't know what they're gonna do. Like, they were gonna trade Jeremy Grant last season and didn't, and then I think it seems like they got a lot less than what they probably could have gotten in the trade deadline. And also maybe they want to start to be good next year, and if so, Bojan would really help with that. You mentioned San Antonio. I don't think they're in such a rush. Like, even if they don't trade Poeltl, I think they can bring him back. They'll pay him more, and I think that's still an asset down the line. Josh Richardson, not going to get more than like probably a couple seconds for him. So Charlotte, the other thing is with them, they could be a if they do, depending what they do, they could be a major cap space next season. Obviously, there's the Miles Bridges situation factoring in if they want to bring back PJ Washington and Jalen McDaniels. But if they were to clear off like Terry Rozier, for example, now they can really be in the mix to be cooking this off season. So, you got Plumlee. I think that's a guy that a lot of teams would probably pay some good seconds for. Same thing with Oubre, expiring guys that probably won't be back next year. But Rozier is a very interesting name just because I didn't like the contract when it was when he got extended, but then the combo scoring guard market just completely blew up last offseason, so now not too It's not nearly as bad as when it was signed. But also just the guy, if they can get some solid value for him, might as well, because he's probably not going to be a part of the next great Hornets team.
Yeah, so Charlotte is definitely a team that I'm looking at for the Lakers in a potential Russell Westbrook trade. And again, we'll get to the specifics later. I don't know if any team at this point is going to touch Gordon Hayward's contract with a 10-foot pole because he's literally dead salary at this point, and you can maybe count on 25 games of healthy Gordon Hayward a season at this point. Do you have any thoughts on the Orlando Magic and a pulse on what they might do? They just have so many guys who could potentially help other teams on their fringes, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with them. I know Terrence Ross is probably going to be a buyout candidate, maybe Gary Harris. Like, what are they going to do with Chuma, who they're not even playing? Could someone get Chuma Okeke for like 2 seconds potentially?
I think very good chance they just don't really do anything. Cause, and I think a part of it is, personally, I think that they could have a nice second half run in them and make the play-in tournament. If you just look at the East, if Toronto actually makes some trades, you've got the top nine through like Atlanta, Chicago in the bottom, and then you got the tenth, which is basically between them and Washington then in that scenario. And I think I kind of like the Magic more, to be honest, especially now that they're fully healthy. They got Isaac back. All their like they're finally healthy, and
They beat the Sixers over the weekend.
they beat the Celtics like three times this year already. Like they've had some pretty high quality wins, like you pointed out, and I just don't think they're gonna get like premium value for some of their expendable guys. Like, I don't think anyone's given up a first for Bamba. I don't think anyone's given up a first for Gary Harris. Jonathan Isaacs just needs to like he needs to stay on the floor a lot longer. So I think they have a very feisty team in them, and now that they're like really coming together, unless they're really getting some premium picks, or maybe getting a player of a position they need more. That has just as much upside. Like, let's say they can turn Bamba into like the wing equivalent of Bamba. I don't know who that might be.
Maybe Oubre.
Well, I mean, like someone like as young as him, that's just like still on a rookie deal, or just coming off a rookie deal. Kind of like, I guess, Rui, kind of in that kind of feel. Like, just so other than that, I think most I don't see. I think there's a very good chance that they could still make the play-in, and that would be really huge for them heading into next year. They could afford to play a little harder because, you know, I still think Chicago makes a play-in, but they'll still have two very good picks. So I think they're cruising. I think there's a good chance they'll just stick with what they've got.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're making their run right now, and everybody's getting healthy, like you said. One other team to look out for would maybe be the Utah Jazz, but I think their intent to be competitive this year. Are you getting that same sense right now? Or I guess they can kind of hedge the middle, right? They can still be competitive, but also offload some veterans that are kind of superfluous and that they don't have future plans for.
I don't really think that organizationally they care too much about how they finish the year. If they make the plan, I think that's great. But ultimately, I think they're just going to do whatever is best for the future. I don't think they expect it to be this good at all. And here they are. And I think they're just waiting to get the right deals for their guys, whether it's more first-round picks, if they can turn some of their guys that are, you know, probably playing a little over their heads, a couple of them, and maybe use them to buy low on a pretty good player like John Collins that they've been linked to. I think they're just going to do whatever is best, regardless of if it makes them better this year or worse.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually think they could be an interesting OG Anunoby trade candidate, a team that could trade for OG, but we'll see. Let's take it to break, and when we return, let's get into more Lakers-centric trade talk. So we will catch you guys after the turn.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in. We know you guys are lit about the new Rui Hachimura acquisition. We are too. Please join us in our litness by thumb tapping away on your Apple Podcast app or your Spotify app. Find the Lakers Legacy Podcast. Give us 5 stars on either of those apps. Spotify is probably the easiest app that you can do this with. All you have to do is look us up on Spotify. Check out that 5-star dial at the top of our Lakers Legacy Podcast page and hit the 5-star button. We would greatly appreciate it. All right, with that said, ikimashou. Let's get on with the rest of the show. All right, Yazzie, we are back. Before we get into the Lakers talk, do you have any wild, I guess they don't have to be wild, but do you have any big trade predictions of any specific players that you believe could be on the move this trade deadline, whether it's a smaller name or a big name, one that you're kind of like, okay, they have to do something with this guy so I could see him definitely being moved. Which player would that be?
Like, are these gun to my head, like the final answer predictions, or just someone I'm keeping an eye on that's kind of a hot take, but I'm probably won't get moved?
It can be, this is the one that makes you an internet celebrity, Yazzie, where when I post it on the internet, I'm like, Yazzie had it first, here's his bold prediction, and then it actually happens. So not necessarily gun to your head, but like, this is one under the radar, hot takey thing that you could realistically see happen. And once it pops, everybody's going to remember Yazzie Gosselin's name, if they don't already.
Well, so there's like a couple, but I've been thinking of ways to merge it into one big trade. Mm-hmm. But I wrote about the Suns last week and how, they just, you know, earlier when they got sold, the reporting from Windhorse was that they're gonna, you know, they can't totally spend too much because Sarver still has a say, depending how much money is being sent out or sent in. And then Woj tweeted that they plan on, that now he's actually going to take control like a day before the trade deadline, which kind of makes him de facto owner now. Obviously, we don't know that 100%, but kind of an indication that maybe the Sarver control isn't going to be necessarily as strong. He's not going to be as big as a decision maker as thought during this transition process. So I was writing about the Suns and about how, like, look, they've been sliding because Booker's been out. But they've got some, they have all their picks. They've got a lot of movable salaries, expiring contracts. They could do something if they want. Like, they were in the mix for KD when KD asked for a trade last offseason. You know, they've, just to show you what they've got working, they could do something big. So, you know, there's Fred VanVleet. They're interested in Fred VanVleet, and then they're interested in OG Anunoby. So I wrote about, like, well, why not? What if they can get both? That's something I would love to see. I think that, I feel like that probably not only just puts them as a favorite to come out the West, if they can do that. I feel like having Bridges and OG is just so unfair to opposing offenses. Like, you now have two guys who can guard, who can, like, just stay on the best players, the best scoring guards, the best wing scorers. So I feel like that could really, like, swing him a title.
Would that, and I'm guessing that would involve DeAndre Ayton going one way, OG and VanVleet going out to the Suns.
No, not necessarily. They don't, it could be, well,
Cam Johnson.
There's a lot of different ways. Like, you can do their expiring contracts. Yeah, Ayton, I do think, like, if they were to do something like this, then they will move Ayton in the future, because you got to eventually pay VanVleet and OG more. And then at that point, like, why do you need Ayton? You can just get, like, a much lower usage center for cheaper when you have all those, like, you have such a stacked 1-4. So, like, that's what I would think, like, an Ayton trade would follow. It could happen during the trade, but I think more likely would be, like, a bunch of expiring contracts. But if you're bringing in VanVleet, then, you know, you can still keep Chris Paul, but
Chris Paul's going to the Lakers, right? This is the three-team trade where the Lakers are involved all of a sudden.
Yeah, so this is something I've thought about it, like, a month ago. I'm like, what if like the Suns can get Fred? Seems to be like a guy that they want for the future post Chris Paul, but like, you might as well trade Chris Paul now. Send him to the Lakers. For the Lakers, you know, probably don't have to pay too big a price to get him, and at the same time, it helps subsidize whatever Phoenix has to pay to get Fred and OG in case their picks aren't enough. You know, maybe Cam Johnson gets included. And then Toronto gets Westbrook, a bunch of picks, save a bunch of future money, because Lakers Lakers could probably get a couple more guys, because they can't just take back Chris Paul.
Right.
You know, maybe they can take back, like, Trent as well.
I like it.
You know, I think that's something. Yeah, it's definitely.
That's a spicy one. I
not likely by any means, but I still think it still makes so much sense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that might, you know, every fan, not the Raptors, they don't want to see their best players go, but it can be like, make everyone happy.
Yeah, no, that one's very interesting. You heard it here first, Yazi Gosselin, CP3 to the Lakers finally, for real. And then Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby to the Suns, Raptors get the picks and a Russell Westbrook buyout. No, it's funny because Eric Pincus wrote something similar in a recent article of his involving CP3 to the Lakers. I mean, it's just, sometimes it's just so obvious the things that you can concoct for this organization, because you know the route that they're going to take, and CP3 is definitely one of those routes. I can see Jeannie Buss wanting to close the loop on the poetry of everything. I wouldn't, whatever. As long as Westbrook's off my team, I guess I can stomach anything, but it's just so Lakers to me to take on another $30 million contract in Chris Paul, who's on the tail end of his career. But
just a couple complicating factors. Like, okay, do the Suns want to help the Lakers out with that? Because they really, like, I don't, Chris Paul's definitely been concerning this season. And, like, especially in the playoffs last year when he would start out so hot and then just completely fell off. I think there's definitely a lot of concerns for the Suns to go into the playoffs with him. But if you're the Lakers, like, that's still better than what, having an inconsistent Chris Paul is still a lot better than what they've got right now. So if you're the Suns, like, do you want to help your division rival like that? That, you know, that could be something, a factor. And then, like, the whole price factor, like, okay, Lakers bring in, you know, Chris Paul and probably another guy. How much do they need to give up? Because I don't think he's, that's tricky, because, you know, Chris Paul's 38, about to be 38. Yeah, it's tricky. What do you give up? How much is too much?
I think if the Lakers can get Trent, they'll be willing to give up that unprotected first. And then I'm guessing the Raptors would also want some compensation from the Suns end outside of expiring. Probably Cam Johnson, right?
I was thinking something like maybe Lakers send out one first, maybe slightly protected, maybe like solidly protected, and then Reeves.
Yeah.
So the Raptors, for them, it's like, okay, you do like you repeat the Norman Powell trade by getting someone who's supposed to be cheaper than Trent. Now they turn Trent, who's pretty expensive, into Reeves, who won't be as expensive. And then they still get a pick, I don't know, just yeah. It could be something like that. They might not want to pay Reeves if they already have Trent. You know, those things could come into play. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, let's not go too deep into this pie in the sky trade. Let's move on to some of the more realistic options. Although one thing that I did want to bring up to you is, I feel like if the Lakers get close to a substantial move, I feel like Austin Reeves and Max Christie may end up being swing pieces in whatever deal gets done. Because again, if the Lakers are hell-bent on not giving up both of their firsts or hell-bent on protecting one of their firsts, one way they can sort of alleviate having to give all those assets up is, you know, surrendering the rights to Austin Reeves or Max Christie, who's shown himself to be a very competent 3-and-D player as a rookie, something that I didn't expect. And at least he's under contract on his rookie scale for next year as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if they become the tipping point sweeteners to any deal that inevitably gets made. And I think, like, putting myself in Jeannie Buss's shoes, that player will probably be Austin Reeves, because the Lakers, like you mentioned, probably will want to avoid paying him his like $8 to $10 million contract next year, especially if they're bringing in a guaranteed salary. So look out for Austin Reeves and Max Christie, and don't get too attached to them. With that said, looking at the Lakers roster right now, they finally upgraded on size, got rid of one guard out of their 7-8 guard glut. In your eyes, what are the Lakers' biggest needs in terms of skill set and maybe even position? Obviously, everybody would love a 3-and-D wing, but in general, looking at the team's makeup right now, what's a skill set or skill sets that you feel like this team is desperately lacking?
I think they could still do a lot better at guard. They're still one of the poor three-point shooting teams, and so yeah, that's where like some of the, you can get like a better two guard or a better wing that might be able to hit some threes as well. But
so shooting.
Yeah. I do think guard play could be a little better. You know, I know Westbrook's been pretty good, but feels like it's been a while since he had moments like in the beginning of the season where he's in the end of the game and just killed them. And now it's kind of Ham's trusting him a little too much again, it seems like, letting him cook. I think Schroeder's been pretty impressive for a minimum salary, but not a guy I would want on a starting or closing lineup of a playoff team. And then Beverly, yeah, he's been a little better, but I think also they could definitely. That's why I really want them to get like a better lead guard, if possible. If they can get Van Vliet or Chris Paul, that'd be great. And then yeah, a better wing, a better shooter. Like if they could get Trent, that'd help them a lot. That's where I would start, really.
Yeah, I think for me, I have shooting and a professional shooter highlighted at the top, while also wanting to swap out Russell Westbrook for a more reliable and consistent guard that can hold up in the playoffs. So kind of like what you said, whether that's Rozier, a Conley, you know, the higher ends are obviously CP3, Fred Van Vliet, but there are other guards out there who can sort of mitigate the loss of the playmaking that Westbrook gives you, but hopefully give you more stable and less erratic play. And obviously better spacing, because there's very few guards of Westbrook's ilk at this point who dramatically changes the way defenses play you. It's maybe like, I don't know, McConnell, but McConnell still only plays like 25, 28 minutes on his best nights. So yeah, for me, I have highlighted professional shooter, would also like guard help if Westbrook is going out. And obviously, if a wing is available, definitely get a wing. But for me, gun to my head, give me better shooting and spacing around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I think one thing that the Lakers will try to do, because they've already got the ball rolling with this Rui Hachimura thing, if they're looking for shooters, I think they will try to. I don't know if they'll be successful in doing so, but to me, it makes sense for them to go after guys with team options, right? Because they can have that out of, yeah, we get to retain them for next year, or if something big comes along, like a Kyrie Irving, we can also just let them go. So guys like this would include like Malik Beasley, team option for next year, right? Alec Burks, team option for next year. Maybe even Mike Conley. I think he's non-guaranteed up until like draft night or whatever, right? So they keep their options open while helping themselves out this year and opening the door to retaining these guys as well. Now, with regard...
If you can get any of those guys, I think they just keep them, pick those options up.
Yeah.
Might not be able to get anyone better in the offseason.
No, I 100% agree with you. But like I said, you always have that out because you have the team option, right? And for Rui Hachimura, you can just renounce him. So it's the best of both worlds, in my opinion. But I agree with you. If you get these guys in, just keep them and start building out the cohesion of your team now. With regards to a Westbrook trade, something that we've been campaigning for since the start of this episode, there are very practical reasons to do it. But given the Lakers' specific context, and I guess we're halfway through the season now, so about more than half of his $47 million contract is paid. But from like a logistical standpoint, in your eyes, how likely is it that Russ and his $47 million contract gets moved? Because I feel like from the, maybe not the paying aspect of things, because again, like more than half of his contract is paid and he's expiring, but from the finding like a team or multiple teams to do all the salary matching, that it seems a lot more complicated because of how big his contract is. So given that context, do you feel like, how likely is it in your eyes that a Russ deal actually gets made?
Pretty low. I want to say like 35% chance.
Okay.
And it just because, you know, first of all, who's actually available that the Lakers would really want and be willing to pay an asset for? A very low combination of those players, unless maybe like they can, again, I always fall back to Chris Paul, Fred VanVleet, but I think, or Fred VanVleet plus Gary Trent, but that's kind of where I'm starting to think, okay, those are the only avenues right now I could realistically see. And then you got the other factor that maybe the Lakers still want to do cap space. And just how much are they willing to spend next year? Because I'm still pretty concerned that they don't want to pay the tax at all. And doing the cap space route can allow them to get a star or pseudo star and really sell the fan base. And then but you still have all these minimum guys filling up the roster, and you barely stay under the tax to avoid the repeater tax. There's a lot of these factors coming in. We're not sure exactly where the Lakers stand on them. So yeah, and then maybe the Lakers still want to bring back Russ, which, okay, like, if you want to bring back Westbrook, I think you can still trade him and most likely can get him back. Like, I don't think, and there's going to be such a like high demand for him in the offseason. Like, you want to give him your MLE? All right, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out some hypotheticals to you outside of Fred VanVleet. Well, first, for Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent, what assets do you think the Lakers will have to sacrifice? Are we looking at two unprotected first, or are we looking at one protected first, one unprotected, and maybe the Lakers ask for, well, I don't even know if they can get Boucher back because those contracts are already pretty big, but...
Oh, no. So they would probably have to get Boucher back because, okay, or the Raptors will be in the tax after.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I've thought about if it's like a two-team trade, Lakers-Raptors, where the Lakers get back Trent and VanVleet, they'll probably need to get back Boucher or maybe that and something else to help the Raptors not go over the tax.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great trade for the Lakers. Three for one, you're getting, VanVleet was an all-star last year. Trent, just a really good player. And then you get Boucher, who, you know, he's shown some things recently, not like many of bench players on the Raptors, not getting consistent minutes from Nick Nurse, but like on this Lakers team, he would probably play every night. So yeah, that how much would they have to give up? It's tough because I think you got to keep in mind that the trade market for all-star players is pretty messed up right now, thanks to Danny Ainge. And Masai, he's one of the best GMs, and I don't see him, I don't see him giving any discounts to his guys, even though these two could be potential free agents. Like, I could see a scenario where the Lakers do end up giving up both first for these two guys. Even, yeah, they can sign one of them, but here they can get back two of them, re-sign them, and now you're over the cap. You can bring back all your other free agents and have a bigger MLE. So now it's like, okay, do we want to pay? Is that what we're paying for? Like, have like an extra fee? We're paying extra to get an extra free agent guy and plus keep whatever we've got. I feel like they'd have to give up both first.
Yeah, I mean, I think I and a lot of Lakers fans would give up both firsts. And I think in this scenario, just because you almost know that you're taking in $50 million, actually, you're taking in $60 million with Chris Boucher, right? Because he's under contract next year. And then you're probably re-signing Van Vliet to like a $27, $28 million new contract, and then Gary Trent to like a $20, $22, right? So it's almost like the Lakers know that their luxury tax bill is going to be way high next year. I think because of that, I think they're giving up the two first, Yazzie, and then I think they're intentionally including Austin Reeves into that deal because I don't think they want to add on another $8 to $10 million and then repeater tax offender prohibitive costs on top of that, to the point where, what, Austin Reeves, even though they're going to re-sign him to like an $8 million contract because of the repeater tax stipulations, that contract ends up becoming what, like times three?
Yeah, but if you're going to pay... Like, he's the type of player you need. You got to pay up for that.
Yeah. But we're talking about the Lakers here, Yazzie.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, I mean, just look out for that. I would give up the two first, but also don't be surprised if Austin Reeves is thrown into that deal and the Lakers make it look like, you know, he was needed to push that trade through. But I also think it benefits them because they don't have to pay for his new contract.
I think, like, get a very good chance Raptors would want him. It just makes sense that. They want, like, they just really want like a that two guard that they can really have under cost control.
Yeah, for sure. All right. With that said, do you have any? So we talked about the Raptors thing. Do you have any other potential? Let's say it's Russell Westbrook and one first that the Lakers are willing to give up. Do you have a trade in mind that would benefit the Lakers and with them only giving up one first essentially?
I don't know what that is, because most of those packages are like for guys like Bojan Bogdanovic at the very best. And I don't think that just makes the Lakers kind of better, but they're not in a position where they can give up a first like that. It's got to be someone a lot better. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Like any Westbrook plus one first trade, unless they're very lucky, most likely is a half measure.
Gotcha. But I think you would agree, though, it's a half measure for this year. But if they are doing it to already build out their team for next year, could it be worth it at that point? And also to gain back salary ballast to use their other first and, you know, the 2023 first that they'll have available on draft night. Could that make more sense? So in your eyes, you wouldn't even trade an unprotected first for a Bojan package.
No. Okay.
Well, I know where you stand. You really value the future unprotected draft picks. I think I would, just because Bojan's under contract for next year, even though he's old. You would probably get, what, if it's Russ going out, you'll probably get Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks, right, coming back, who are both on team options. For me, that's a little bit worth it. I understand why other people would be queasy, but it gives you the chance to compete for this year where the West is wide open, and then next year you already have your built-in shooter along with Rui, and then you can, you know, make some other fringe trades with Noel and Burks contracts to further improve your team. But what if the Lakers were able to get Gary Trent, Boucher, Thad Young for Russ and a first. I know there's complications with you pretty much just paying an unprotected first for the rights to re-sign Gary Trent to like $24 million, but I feel like, one, he's a clutch client, and two, he's a younger player than Bojan, who the Lakers can really sort of grow with. So it's more of a future move.
I still wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Like I said, I would rather just try to get some assets back with some worse contracts and just build up that asset pool. That's what I would do.
Okay. So do you,
worst case scenario.
So are there any trades that you have? You kind of hinted at it at the start of the show where the Lakers do trade Russ, don't give up any first, maybe at most they get seconds, they give up seconds for longer term salary of players that can sort of help them now, but also players under contract that they can later move. And before you go, I had one in mind that I don't know if the Lakers would actually do this, but would they think of even trading with the Heat for Lowry and Duncan Robinson? Duncan Robinson might have the worst contract in the league right now. Like, it extends for like 3 or 4 years, but technically it's a shooter and a point guard, but something along those lines, right?
Yeah, no, if they can do that and get like a first, I think they should consider it. If maybe they can get back like another piece, like one of those minimum guys they just like to find out of nowhere attached. That one's probably in the higher end. I don't think that he would do that though. I already give you a couple examples, like if they do something with Charlotte, maybe take back Hayward and Rozier. Maybe they do something with Dallas, take back Bertans, Tim Hardaway, try to get some assets back as well. There's another one I wrote. Oh, New York is another one where they take back Fournier and then just like Reddish and Rose, maybe get a couple of those fake firsts that New York has back. Either way, I just like in all those scenarios, you have some salary going into next year to do something later.
Yeah. For the Charlotte deal, let's say we take Hayward out of it. Do you think the Lakers could get away with getting Rozier, Plumlee, and Oubre for a protected first? Like, let's say it's lotto protected. Would you be okay with doing that for that package? If it's Russ, a protected lotto protected first for Rozier, expiring Plumlee, expiring Oubre.
I mean, the value is it's fine, but then the issue is that just you're still giving up the asset. Even if the pick never conveys, you still are hamstrung. You can't really do anything else. I'd rather hold on to the pick for just see what other opportunities come this offseason. Lakers will also be able to trade their own pick once the first round of the draft ends, so they can add another pick for whatever might happen. I would just wait to see what opportunities happen. Like, most likely there will be better opportunities on draft night than this trade deadline.
Yeah, I think you're right. I, for me as a Lakers fan, I would just like to see them reward LeBron James and Anthony Davis this season for fighting through all these injuries and just giving them, you know, even if it's for optics alone, I'm okay giving up a first. I'm okay giving up a first just to offload Russell Westbrook. I'm so done with the Russell Westbrook experience. It's crazy that, like, I have you on, we're still talking about the same stuff like a year later, you know, Russell Westbrook, what do we do with him, you know, which is why I advocated highly for them trying to get this sorted out in the offseason. I know it's easier said than done, but now it's even harder because you're kind of scrambling to try and trade $47 million. But with that said, let's look at just some like fringe type stuff. Let's say the Lakers want to go to war with just second rounders. They don't want to trade Russ because they like this little weird six man of the year story that they have going on, which he's unlikely to win. But let's say they want to keep Russ and they want to go to war with additional seconds. I think they only have 4 left to trade since they traded 3 in the Rui deal.
Yeah. And that's going to put me in like a similar framework of mine when I'm going to be like, I probably wouldn't give up too many more seconds for anything at this point.
Okay. Well, let's put you in the frame of mind where the Lakers are trying to make a run and they do want to get back actual talent that at least shows LeBron James that you're trying further, because Rui's not going to cut it, right? It's a good first step, but they need another second optics move. So what is the type of trade where they could trade like 2 seconds for a veteran expiring guy who could help them make a run this year. And, you know, maybe they have the option of keeping him around with his bird rights this summer. So 2 years ago, there was a trade that the Celtics did where they traded 2 seconds for an expiring Evan Fournier from Orlando. And Evan Fournier kind of helped them in their playoff run. They ended up letting him walk. But that's the sort of deal I'm kind of looking at. So do you have any, you know, veterans in mind who could maybe go for 2 seconds? Like, for me, I have Alec Burks, Josh Richardson, Gary Harris, Eric Gordon. Could you see those guys going for seconds that would help the Lakers?
So, yeah. Gary Harris, no. Like I talked about with the Magic, I think they're just going to, you know, they're going to hold tight. But, yeah, everyone else you mentioned, maybe the Spurs with Doug McDermott as well. Maybe Memphis with Danny Green, but it seems like they really are excited to have him be on the team. There's someone else I'm thinking of. I just slipped my mind. I mean, you mentioned Josh Richardson. You know, Kelly Oubre, I think we talked about. I think that's another guy. I think Lakers could really use him. I think it's the same. Eric Gordon, yeah, I suppose. Because I don't think Houston's getting their first rounder they've been trying to get for like 3 years now. But like the Bucks are offering like a bunch, like 3 or 4 first, second round picks to try to get like Crowder or Eric Gordon. Maybe the Lakers can get that done, can do that as well if they're willing to trade all their seconds left.
What do you think about Alec Burks? Do you think the Pistons will try and hold out for a first? I don't think they're going to get a first for Alec Burks, but is that a guy who could potentially go for 2 seconds?
Just with Detroit, just what are they going to do? Are they looking to, do they want to sell their guys for more assets, or do they actually want to try to be good? And Burks has that team option, which I would imagine they're going to pick up. He's considering how good he's been playing, and they'll still have a lot of cap space. So just for that particular situation, I don't see them settling on him because they could just bring him back. No problem.
So here are some lower end guys, and this is almost lower end to the point where I could potentially see them as buyout candidates. But what are your thoughts on trading a second for like Will Barton or Chetty Osman, Terrence Ross? I feel like because the Lakers will actually have to put in a useful guy that they're actually playing, like a Lonnie Walker or a Pat Bev, into this deal, it makes it unlikely. But those guys could probably go for seconds, right?
Well, okay, Osman, sure. But you mentioned Ross and who? Will Barton. Those guys are gonna be like they might be bought out.
Yeah.
I would not trade Beverly for either of those guys.
Yeah, they're definitely on my buyout candidate list.
Terrence Ross. That seems like I feel like he's a future Laker.
For sure, definitely via the buyout when that happens. So, closing in on the end here, like, give me your final Lakers prediction, if you have one, in terms of what they're going to do. I continue to hold out hope that they do the smart thing and trade Russell Westbrook for several contracts, or they're willing to actually relinquish one of their firsts or even two of their firsts for the right package. But I'm also just resigned to the fact that they'll probably just make another smaller Rui Hachimura type deal for a more established player. And this time, my prediction is they have to come away from this trade deadline with a professional shooter. Because it seems like if they're going to trade Russell Westbrook, then fine. They've got the quote-unquote guard play set. Now they just need the actual shooting to even alleviate the fact that Russell Westbrook kills your spacing. So for me, my prediction is they're going to come away with one of Eric Gordon, Malik Beasley, Alec Burks, maybe Gary Harris, if the Magic see that, yeah, they have too many guards, or even if they're trying to win, I feel like there's a lot of superfluous parts in the Orlando Magic's roster that they may be willing to give up Gary Harris for some assets. But I think the Lakers are going to come away with at least one legitimate shooter. But for you, do you have a prediction for the Lakers this trade deadline?
You know, I think that's actually the most like realistic scenario you just pitched. They're probably just going to try to turn Beverly and one minimum guy into a shooter, like you just put out. Probably won't cost much to get that trade done. You know, the long-standing Westbrook nightmare, like, we think that it's finally going to end, and I just think it's going to keep going through. I think they're going to fulfill that the rest of that contract, and And probably even bring him back. Even, you know, like if you can bring him back on the MLE, yeah, that's, you know, $10 million a year. Okay. Definitely changes the perception, but
yeah.
No, I would agree with you. I could see them getting like turning Beverly into one of those type guards. That's very realistic.
Yeah. But again, we hope that the Lakers actually make use of, you know, Russell Westbrook's expiring contract, make use of Patrick Beverley and Lonnie Walker's expiring contract, because I think this will be so hard to pull off, and this is where we start getting into like fantasy basketball type talk. But Yazi, there is a scenario where if the Lakers decide to trade Russell Westbrook and they take back some multi-year contracts, they can then make a second deal with Lonnie Walker and Pat Bev's expiring contracts and then gain back more depth, right? And especially if they're willing to trade one or both of those first. I highly doubt they'll trade both first in this trade deadline, but let's say they do the Westbrook for multi-year contracts. They get like Dorian Finney-Smith or something and Davis Bertans from the Mavericks, right? And then they flip Pat Bev and Lonnie Walker and one first, maybe it's protected, to the Raptors for Gary Trent. That's something that could happen. It's unlikely to happen, but there are creative ways to get this done if the other teams are willing to do so. It makes practical sense, right? The Lakers would take back longer-term salary for Westbrook, and then they could then use Pat Bev and Lonnie Walker plus a first for, like, Gary Trent and Chris Boucher. And then in total, all of a sudden, the Lakers have Dorian Finney-Smith, Davis Bertans, maybe Tim Hardaway Jr., Gary Trent, and Chris Boucher. This is where we get into fantasy basketball. But if those deals were possible, would you try and, like, do something like that where it's like you give the Lakers the best chance to make their run this season, but also you have the pieces set for next year as well?
Yeah, and like I said, the biggest downside to that for Lakers is they're going to be spending a lot more money to make something like that happen, which they have to. Like, they're not going anywhere staying under the tax next year, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you know, with the Lakers, it always circles back to who they deem worth it to spend all that money, right? And I think that's why we probably will end up looping back to the Chris Pauls of the world, because for Chris Paul, the Lakers, I think, will be willing to pay that deep into the luxury tax and pay the tax repeat offense, you know?
Yeah, casualty. If they can get that third all-star, yeah, then I'm sure they'll... But at the same time, I don't even know if they're going to be willing to spend as much as they should, like... Right now, they're roughly $20 million over the tax. I don't, you know, and they're paying like a $44 million bill. I don't have what exactly that translates to in the repeater. I mean, I'll pull that up really quickly. To be $20 million in the repeater, that's like $65 million.
That's a lot.
And I don't think that's going to cut it. I think they need to spend like $100 million at least.
Yeah, so they'll do that for the Chris Pauls of the world, which is unlikely, but I don't think they'll do it for the Dorian Finney-Smiths and Davis Bertans and obviously Gary Trents of the world, even though he's a clutch client. But yeah, with that said, Yazi, thanks so much for joining us once again. We'll see what happens next week at the trade deadline, whether the Toronto Raptors hit that domino that makes the rest of the league sort of waterfall into action. Remains to be seen, but from the Lakers' end, they will probably make one optics move. It will be very surprising if they make that big splashy Russell Westbrook move, but we're here for the fireworks if they happen. So Yazi, do you have anything to plug before we let you go?
Just follow me on Twitter at Yossi Goslin. And I'm pumping out a lot of content on Hoops Hype right now, all sorts of trade deadline content. Just check it out.
Cool. Yeah, definitely follow Yazi, especially next week when all the trade deadline fireworks get underway. And yeah, we will catch you guys next time. Thank you guys for listening to the Lakers Legacy Podcast. And Yazi, we will catch you next time, probably during free agency. Maybe we'll do a post-trade deadline thing. But yeah, thanks for hopping on, man.
Of course, anytime.
Cool. See ya.